My name is Matt Coulter. As I said before, I am the teaching pastor here at Whitewater. I have the honor and the pleasure, really, of serving under and alongside Adam as our vision pastor and the council of elders that we've set up here at Whitewater. Can I say council of elders? That sounds kind of the group of council sounds kind of I don't know, Lord of the Rings-ish, doesn't it? Like we belong in Rivendell or something. Hold on. Let me turn my nerd off back here. I have the honor and privilege of being on staff here at Whitewater and the honor and privilege of talking to you guys today about a subject that I'm really passionate about. In fact, it used to be my full-time job to talk about this very topic, and that is what Adam introduced last week, did a fantastic job introducing last week, that of intentional community, being in community with one another, and getting to know one another, and at deep, meaningful levels. And Adam did a fantastic job introducing this topic last week, and now my job is to get up here and give you guys some practical tips that you can grab onto to make this happen in your lives, okay? And I'm going to try to shy away from the, you know, seven steps to a better life kind of presentation here, because I don't believe that God is like that, and I don't believe Scripture is like that. But I want to equip you guys, because that's what I feel like my job is to equip the saints for work in the kingdom of God. And so I want to equip you guys this morning, give you some things that you can hold on to build community and make that beautiful stuff happen that Adam was talking about last week. So here's what I can tell you. My favorite description of this intentional community, this spiritual community that we're talking about, comes from author Larry Crabb. And Larry Crabb's from Colorado, and he's written several books on this topic, and he calls this intentional community the safest place on earth. And I love that description. I think that concept describes what we're talking about here, the safest place on earth. Let me tell you some of the other things that he said about this and see if this doesn't resonate with you at a soul level. You yearn for a safe place, a community of friends who are hungry for God, who knows what it means to sense the Spirit moving within them as they speak to you. You long for friends who are intent not on figuring out how to improve you, but on being with you wherever your journey leads. You want to know and be known in conversations that aren't really about you or anyone else but Christ. In this community, people reach deep places in each other's hearts that are not often or easily reached. They openly express love and reveal fear, even though they feel unaccustomed to that level of intimacy. Doesn't sound like a beautiful place to be? To be with people that you can say that about? So that's what this boils down to. He talks about it being a sacred place of vulnerability and authenticity, which is one of the four core values here at Whitewater. Authenticity. And we want you guys to find relationships like that, friendships like that. We want you to find somebody, one, two, maybe three people. You'd be incredibly blessed to find three people like that who know you. Deep down inside, know you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and love you anyways, and challenge you to grow beyond that. Do you guys kind of get the picture of what we're talking about here? That wasn't a very overwhelming response. In the interest of authenticity, this coffee cup is empty. It's mainly a prop for security. I was going to go fill it up again, but that would probably just mean I have to stop and pee in the middle of my sermon. So we're not going to do that. So I'm just going to set it down and try to not hold that coffee cup. here, trying to paint a picture. Do you see this? I don't know. Are you filling that up? I take 2 French vanilla creamers, please. We're out of coffee. This is the saddest day in the history of Whitewater. We're out of coffee. That's all right. Now you guys won't have to wait for me to go to the bathroom in the middle of my sermon, so we're all good. Thank you, though, Tanya. I appreciate it. Tanya is our everything else here at Whitewater. She's our staff administrator. Can we say that? Okay. Yeah, and she gets things done, as you can see. So back to intentional community. I want to keep trying to paint this picture for you guys of what we're talking about. So if we could flip off these lights, and let's step into the Wayback Machine, and let me see if we can paint a picture a little more poetically for you of what we're talking about here. All right, anybody under the age of 30, name that band. All right, somebody, thank you. I know Adam loved that. I threw that in there, yeah. You know, I always used to hate it when I sat under older teachers who would play like horrible videos from the 70s and 80s, and now I completely understand because I just played a horrible video from 1998. But I love that song. That was my senior year of high school, by the way. I'm going to date myself. And I know they're talking about a relationship, a romantic relationship, but it goes beyond that. I love those lyrics. You just want somebody to know you, to know who you really are, so you don't have to hang out, put on a mask, and fake it anymore. Let's come a little more contemporary here to probably one of my favorite bands, probably top 3 favorite bands of all time, and a little more recent, so probably everybody will have heard this song, hopefully. Let's do this one, a little more poetic description of spiritual community.
You think you've got the stuff? You're telling me and anyone you're hard enough. You don't have to put up a fight. You don't have to always be right. Let me take some of the punches for you tonight.
Is that one a little better? Well, let me take some of the punches for you tonight. You don't always have to be right. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. That's what this is about, guys. We were never intended to make it on our own. We were created in the image of God back in Genesis chapter 1. Because God exists in perfect community, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we were created in his image to exist in community with one another. You were never intended to make this journey on your own. We want you to find somebody who will take the punches for you, and that you will take the punches for them. Now, you're probably saying, this sounds fantastic, but how in the hell do I make this happen in my life? What do I need to do to get there, right? This was a lot easier back in elementary school when you could go up to somebody and say, hey, you want to be best friends? Okay, cool. And you're best friends, right? It doesn't really work that way anymore. So it's important that you guys have something to grasp onto and understand. There's a model that shaped my view of how this works in real life. And it's from a book called The Pursuit of God in the Company of Friends by Richard Lamb. And he takes this idea from Mark chapter 3. So Mark tells a story of Jesus, one of the four stories of Jesus we have in the Bible. And in chapter 3, he says this. Jesus withdrew from his disciples to a lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. And when they heard about all he was doing, many people came forward from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed so many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And then a little later, continuing that story, Jesus went up then on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 of them that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. So in this story, here's what we see. A crowd of people follow Jesus. Out of that crowd of people, many push forward to be healed and to hear his teaching. And out of the many that pushed forward, Jesus goes up on a mountainside and calls those he wanted to come up with him. And out of that group of those he wanted, he appoints 12 apostles. And so we see this circle of relationships building here. And then, of course, left unsaid in this passage, but throughout the rest of the Jesus narrative, we see that 3 of those 12, Peter, James, and John, became incredibly close with Jesus, who shared his most intimate moments while he was here on earth. And so on the back of the handout that you guys got today, we have this bullseye-looking thing. We've got it up on screen here. And you see this model of relationships here that we're talking about when we talk about spiritual community. We'd love to see you guys have relationships in each and every one of these circles with people at these varying levels of intimacy. Okay? Are you tracking with me? For instance, your crowd might be the people that you know, that you see, but you don't really know them. You don't really know their names. Maybe you're like me and you meet them a couple times and you still don't know their names. Sorry. But that's the people that are just surrounding you that you might say hi to. Maybe your many are made up of people who you know their names, you say hi to them, you make small talk with them, you see them out in the foyer, or you see them in the cubicle next to you, and you talk about the weather or sports or whatever. But then you step down into the wanted circle, and it starts getting a little more meaningful. Maybe these are people that you have something in common with. Maybe these are people you hang out with. Maybe these are people who you invite to come over to your house and who you connect with on more than a surface level. And then you have your 12 or your apostles, not literally, of course. They're the people who you feel really comfortable with, the people who you have over regularly. People who you call when you need help or money or prayer. People who you know will be there for you. And then you have your 3, Maybe it's just one or two, or maybe it's three. And these are the invaluable, rare people in your life who know you inside and out, who form that safest place on earth for you. And so we would love to see you guys have relationships, have friendships that span all those different levels of intimacy. That's healthy, holistic community. But ultimately, what we want for you the most is for you to say, that to truly say that you have one or two people in that smallest circle, your Peter, James, and John level of friends. So when we ask you guys to stand up and do the meet and greet on Sunday mornings, that's a chance to interact with your crowd or your many, okay? We're not expecting any deep sort of intimacy to happen there. And when you invite somebody to lunch after church, as Adam wisely recommends that you do, maybe that's starting to build your wanted, or maybe even your apostles. Maybe when you join a small group, you find people that you would like to be in that intimate inner circle with you. See how it starts working? So that makes sense then, right? But that deep level of authentic relationship doesn't happen accidentally, or at least not most of the time. Occasionally it does, and it's a beautiful thing. But how can you grow that level of intimacy with people? There's 1,000 different ways that you can do it. But let me break it down for you this way. Let me give you something else to grasp onto this morning, to anchor yourself to, as a way to understand what this community looks like. We talk about this community as having three parts, three ways of doing it, three elements, three aspects, and they are sharing life together, sharing spiritual journey together, and engaging culture together. And to me, those three aspects make up a healthy, vibrant spiritual community. And these are just like they sound. Share life together. This is what Adam was talking about last week, that we're good at already. Invite somebody over to watch the game, you know? Watch movies, post hump day videos, and watch Futurama together. Sharing spiritual journey is where it gets a little tougher, and this is where the intentionality aspect comes in at. This is where Adam began painting a picture of, this is where God stuff happens. This is where we make one another desire God above everything else. Where we dig deep, where we ask questions, where we get real and authentic, where we challenge one another to grow and offer comfort to one another as well. And you say, okay, great. How do I do that? A ton of ways. Maybe you do a Bible study together. Maybe you study it on your own and you come together and talk about it. Maybe you pray together. Maybe you do a whole slew of different things. Maybe you meet together for coffee on a regular basis. Maybe you share what's going on in your life and you're able to just enter in at those deep, incredible, vulnerable levels. One of the best tools I've ever found for building this sort of deep community, intentional community, is from, I don't want to call it a curriculum. It's much bigger and better than a curriculum. A ministry called Renovare that we've talked about a couple times up on stage here before. And we're going to start or get a Renovare group started here. And I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. Caleb, where? Yeah, okay, good. Perfect. He's our resident Renovare Richard Foster expert. You've been in Richard Foster's basement, haven't you? Or you? Yeah, see? I told you. He's seen Richard Foster's secret library. It's amazing. No, Richard Foster started this ministry called Renovare, and what he did was look around and see that there's so many church backgrounds and church traditions, right? And you guys may have seen this, you guys might have experienced this, and you think, why in the world are there so many different churches? Why can't we just be united? Well, Richard Foster kind of felt the same way. And he looked around and said, look, there's churches that come out of a social justice tradition. There's churches that come out of a holiness tradition, an evangelical tradition, a charismatic tradition, an incarnational tradition. There's churches that come out of all these different full spectrum of traditions, backgrounds, histories. And unfortunately, sad to say, for the church, that we usually don't trust one another being from all these different backgrounds and histories, and we view one another with skepticism, and there's a lot of infighting, unfortunately, amongst all these different backgrounds of churches, and that's a sad report on the state of the church. But Richard Foster saw this and said, there is so much beauty in every single tradition. There's beauty. There's things that they do wrong. There's things that are ugly. But there's so much beauty. So why can't we say, let's take the beauty out of all these different traditions and build this full circle, holistic understanding of what it means to relate to God and relate to one another in these ways. And so out of that idea, he created this entire series, Curriculum Ministry, to try to help people, to equip people to live these holistic understandings of God by taking these six different church traditions. And one of the things that he did, he created questions of examine that are meant to be used in small group or one-on-one settings with people. And they're incredible. I put that on the other side of your handout. Actually, Tanya put that on the other side of your handout for this morning. And these come from those six traditions that we talked about. And guys, when you get together with folks and you want to enter in to community at these deep levels with one another, you can use these as a tool to get there. You can use these as a tool to start talking about deep matters of the heart. Instead of just, hey, you know, how was your week? How'd you like the game on Sunday? That was pretty awesome, which is what a lot of my conversations are going to encompass for the next, you know, 6 months or so. But when you want to get past that stuff, you can go to these and start asking these kind of questions. This is what we want to see happen for you guys. So when you're sitting with somebody, when you're walking with somebody, when you're driving with somebody, ask them a question or two off the list. And then listen honestly, and answer honestly yourself, and watch that deep level of community start to grow. This is what we want to see happen for you guys. Not just because we want you guys to have friends, okay, but because this stuff stirs something holy in you. This stuff shoots you on a trajectory towards Christ. This stuff moves you two steps closer, which is what we're all about. This stuff makes you a better disciple. This stuff is iron sharpening iron. This stuff, we hear all the time, how do I grow in Christ? What does it mean to grow in Christ? How do I get closer? How do I move to, what does two steps closer mean? What does it look like? And we're going to launch into a whole series on discipleship in a couple of weeks, guys. I'll give you a sneak preview. But that's what this is all about. We don't want you guys to just have friends. We want you guys to have friends that move you closer to Christ. And that's the beautiful thing of being in community. But you know what? As much as we want that for you, we can't make that happen. We can't force people to enter into those kind of relationships and friendships. We can't force people to build this intentional community together. And so what we can do, and what we hope we are doing, is foster an atmosphere where it makes it easier for you guys to do that. Okay? We want to equip you and give you guys the opportunities necessary to do that. Because you were never intended, as I said, to make this journey on your own. You need people around you to see and experience the totality of God. Did you know that? Your understanding of God is not complete. Because we've all been given different perspectives and experiences, and God is so huge that you need people around you to see, to begin to see the totality of God and the depth of life you can have in Him. And when this happens, when a group of people get connected at intimate levels this way, it serves as a powerful, powerful picture to the world. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Where I said it's sharing life together, sharing a spiritual journey together, and engaging culture together. We're going to take that engaging culture together piece and talk about that next week. But until then, I want to encourage you guys, stay after the service for a little bit. Talk with one another. Build some relationships on your crowd and on your many level. Invite somebody to lunch, as Adam says. Invite them over for the game on Wednesday. Or whatever. Start digging deeper into one another's lives. And guys, we will be praying for you that you can experience this in your life. And we'll be here to help you any way we can. Because this is one of the core essential things of what it means to be following Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you've created us in your image, that you've created us to not only desire but to need community. One or two or three people who just get us, who just know us. So there doesn't have to be any pretense. There doesn't have to be any pretending. The mask is just off, and there's freedom and love there. God, I pray that everybody in this room would have somebody at that level to interact with, to engage with, and to drive them closer to you, to drive them deeper into your heart, God. Help make that happen by the power of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. Amen.